It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A multi-year project at the Chazen Museum of Art in Madison confronts a problematic sculpture in its collection depicting Abraham Lincoln standing over a crouching freed slave. A reimagined sculpture incorporates abolitionist Frederick Douglass, and that's one aspect of an exhibition sparking new conversations about contentious monuments and racial injustice and how museums proceed with challenging works. Call in with questions and comments throughout 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sanford Biggers is a New York visual artist. His exhibition, Remancipation, is on display at the Chazen. Sanford, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thank you.
Good morning. Yes. So how do you hope people feel after experiencing your exhibit?
I think I like them to feel curious and informed, or, you know, informed with new information at least, and inspired.
I would like to add the word dialogue. I think that has been coming up again and again when you talk about what has happened in this exhibition, that it is really causing people to talk. And what is it that they are bringing up?
I think the conversation is really, I mean, I think there are a lot of things that come up. It's a lot of history that people seem to have missed because it wasn't necessarily covered in school. Sort of like the motivations behind the freeing of the slaves and how that was more than likely more of a byproduct than trying to protect the Union than actually the focal purpose of that of the Emancipation Proclamation. And that the sculpture itself of the Emancipation Group has so many different symbols and iterations and instances throughout the U.S., and each one is a bit different. Each one, you know, comes from a different time, sometimes different scale, different materials, and how that work evolves over time, but in public, basically, and how even today we're still contending with that object. And some states have removed there, some are considering it. And, you know, in Wisconsin, we had an opportunity to do something actually very different and charge the university itself with doing what universities do, open up dialogue so that people could discuss and think and contemplate this work and what it means, what it meant then and what it means now.
The exhibit reimagines Thomas Ball's 1873 sculpture, Emancipation Group, which you say, you know, you see forms of this. One was removed in a Boston park, other remains at Lincoln Park in D.C., and you created a response to the sculpture. Why did you do that?
Well, you know, I think the language is important, and I didn't really consider it a response per se. In fact, I would consider the exhibition itself more of a proposition, a proposal that came out of a lot of the fervor that was happening around other contentious objects. So rather than look at my contribution of the marble sculpture Lifting the Veil as a direct response, I would like to consider it as part of the whole investigation of not only that object, but other objects from time periods close to it. And in the exhibition itself, you even see a didactic timeline and examples of the work compared and contrasted with other works from different parts of the world and that time period.
There is, as you mentioned, the sculpture, and there is such process that goes into this exhibit. It was seemed to be such an organic process of arriving at what this was going to be to respond, and I use that word again reluctantly, but to really talk more deeply about this holding within the Chazen. Why do you think it had to be like this organic process to arrive at this exhibition?
Well, I think you hit on a very good, you know, salient point there. And as an artist, I would say the process of creating this exhibition really was the most exciting part of it. I mean, the research, too, obviously very exciting and unearthed a lot of things. But this really sort of pushed myself, my teammates from Mass Consortium and Amy Gilman and the Chazen itself to really look at how our practices are in a time when we are in a position to provide information, when people are looking for answers or looking for solutions or ideas in how to deal with our own history. And I commend the museum for its flexibility and being so nimble, because they did a lot of things that aren't typical of index school museums. And they opened their doors and they opened their coffers for us to look and study and research. And it was, as you mentioned, very organic how this process worked. We had several ideas in the beginning that morphed into larger ones. We started to invite more participants from outside of the university community to contribute to this event. So it became very large, and it expanded all of our communities, I'd say.
I'm going to reintroduce you here for a moment. Sanford Biggers, New York-based visual artist and the lead of the Re-Emancipation exhibit, as we look at an exhibit at the Chazen Museum of Art in Madison. You can join in with your questions, your comments and thoughts on monuments, sculptures, and where we go from here with museum collections. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. The Emancipation Group statue has been in the museum's holdings for nearly a half century. Why reimagine problematic or challenging art rather than merely removing these pieces from public view, taking them down?
Well, I think the danger in doing something like that is basically erasure. And we're living in a time right now where we're looking at erasure being weaponized, as it usually is. Once you start to erase history, you are more apt to repeat it because you have no precedent. And, that works for some people because they'd like to forget the history because there's some painful, shameful things that have happened. But I think it's actually more poignant and more beneficial for us as a society if we learn from history. It seems like sort of the point, right? And once again, working within the university context, everything that is studied there is being studied because it is precedent. And during the reckoning of the last few years, when the monuments were being taken down and vandalized, it really struck me that we were at a dangerous point because the opposition to those acts was literally to hide it, tuck it under the rug. And that was sort of the beginning. Those were some of the beginning conversations we had with the museum, because the inclination was like, well, let's just put it away until later and try to figure it out. But I was like, this is actually a really good point, because the nation isn't speaking. We're not having a dialogue. And this is really just a catalyst for us to dig deeper into the history we've had and the future that we want.
Can you take us more deeply into the history of the kneeling, formerly enslaved person in the Emancipation Group sculpture modeled after Archer Alexander? Just, describe for us a little bit about their journey and eventually being the subject of a biography.
Well, I think it's also important as we go into that to mention that the Emancipation Group sculpture was actually funded by former slaves in the first place. So this was, money that was collected amongst a bunch of former slaves to say, we want to commemorate Lincoln because of, this emancipation. And they went through several different iterations and even a few different models. And finally, Archer is the one that ends up being portrayed. And there was various controversy and questions throughout that entire process. And I think that's why in this exhibition, we thought of various ways of, bringing Archer to the same stature as Lincoln, because there are some literally disproportionate qualitative values of the kneeling Archer and Lincoln in terms of size and scale, but obviously in terms of stature as well. So, the obvious go-to would be to have him merely stand and be equal to Lincoln, at least in terms of height and posture. But beyond that, he is not clothed. He's barefoot. He has a shackle on one of his ankles. And and this was one of the early complaints of one of the early versions of the piece, was that his face seemed almost vacuous and not showing intellect or even much consciousness, to be honest with you. And I'm sure you're going to get to this at some point, but when we talk about the Lifting the Veil piece, but
yes.
Part of our charge with the exhibition itself was to really look at the kneeling slave as an archetype, as mm-hmm. a trope. And within that, all the hand gestures between Lincoln and Archer, not only that, the symbols of, you know, the proclamation, the scroll, the lynching stump, the bleeding heart that's located behind the podium, you know, and every version of the Emancipation Group has either added different symbols or removed certain symbols. So just the Emancipation sculpture in all of its iterations is enough to make an exhibition about. But we took it upon ourselves to try to contextualize that with other things that were happening globally and things that were happening nationally at that time to give a much larger context. And when we found the object within the Chazen, it was in a gallery that was surrounded by, you know, sort of neoclassical portraits of various people from, you know, various residents.
Mm-hmm.
And we really didn't know much about them. And it turns out the museum, in fact, didn't know that much about those residents there, too, because those portraits had been up for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to recreate that within the exhibition itself. So we did a small version of that gallery within the exhibition. And across from it, we created another gallery that had borrowed works from Kehinde Wiley depicting Carrie Mae Weems. We have mm-hmm. work and photographs from all of the participants who've been involved with the project, so that we have portraits that are looking back at the more classical portraits. So once again, trying to create a situation where there's equal footing and equal context behind all the individuals involved.
New York artist Sanford Biggers taking us inside this multi-year project at the Chazen Museum of Art, bringing new meaning, context into a challenging museum sculpture and the resulting exhibition that is underway. It is called Re-Emancipation. Join in the discussion. Call with a question, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The exhibition, it is called Re-Emancipation. It is a multi-year project dissecting the history of a problematic sculpture at the Chazen Museum of Art in Madison, and through the process, deepening conversations about racial injustice and contentious monuments. Be part of the discussion. Share the number to call in, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sanford Biggers is a visual artist in New York and is behind this exhibit. Let's take a call. Marcus in Milwaukee. Marcus, what would you like to bring up?
So I'm a political science and history double major from UWM. And my feeling on this whole thing is that if we take and start trying to eliminate every single statue or something where it's named after people, we're not going to have anything left of our collective history, even as sordid as it may be, because we'd have to get rid of Washington, D.C., because Washington had slaves. Lincoln had said that he would free the slaves if it would end the war, or he would not free the slaves if it would end the war. It didn't really matter. So I think that the way your artist is and your guest is approaching it, I think it's fantastic, sir. I just want to say that. I think that it's great that we're taking and looking at this and putting it into context, so that that's one step where that statue was in terms of that's how it was portrayed then. But let's put it into context and say, okay, but that still wasn't correct. That's one step down the path. Now we're taking another step down the path, so that we can keep moving forward as a nation and just acknowledge the collective good, bad, and other, because it's what we all share and what we have, and we need to come to terms with it in some kind of meaningful way.
Marcus, thank you. Sanford, go ahead.
I totally agree with you. I think that's exactly why we took this approach. It was a conversation that many of us were having during that time when we started to, you know, see on television all the representations of these monuments being destroyed or vandalized. I've been asked a few times, however, though, if I think that this is the way, if this is the way to handle these things. And just like our caller mentioned, I feel it is a way, just one of many ways. And I can't say that you can rinse and repeat this everywhere, because I think the first people to comment on a work are the people who are most affected by it, meaning the constituents living around each of these works. Mm-hmm. It's really, the onus is on them to deal with it. But this is, like I mentioned before, a proposal. And I anticipate or hope that there are other proposals of ways that we can handle this, but none of them are about erasure and strictly hiding. All of them are about recontextualizing and understanding and finding a way to come to grips with, once again, as the caller said, the good, the bad, and the ugly of our history.
I want to bring up one of the multimedia portions of the exhibit, the theme song from Grandel Thompson and the Marksmen.
You think you gave us something? You think you gave us freedom? Is this emancipation? Is this is how you lead them? Broken down society, this is how you treat them. No more picking cotton, so now you never need them. I got my own Liberty Bells, I'ma start to ring them. Change gon' come, it's a brand new kingdom. They making answers for them, they make us stand and sing them.
Sanford, tell us about theme song. Oh, dear. I think you're breaking up on your phone. Are you?
Hello?
Yes, there we go. There we go. Okay. Yes.
Yes. Theme song is a collaboration, as mentioned, by Grandel Thompson and the Marksmen. And it was, you know, it came out of a relationship between them that they've had for over probably, I guess, almost two decades now, where they worked on several projects together, including things with Chuck D and other MCs. And when the Emancipation Project, when we started getting deeper and deeper into it, we started to bring in other guests, and including Keon Harold and Pharoah Monch and DJ Rich Medina and other artisans, musicians, poets, and so on. And Grandel came up once again because we had this track, and he was the perfect MC and for it. He knew the work, he knew the project, and he had thoughts on this piece as well.
And you know the coolest thing is when you're watching watching him do it, there's the sculpture in the corner. and the Freedman starts, if you can describe it, I mean, just slowly as the song progresses, starts standing straighter
yes.
up.
Until they are not only
eye level, but they are looking straight in the eye of Lincoln. It is so powerful. It was so cool.
Yeah. They did a great job with that. And I think that's indicative of our approach. Once again, very organic. I think there was a freedom of working with a museum like this, and that was hard-earned from all of us, the museum included, of saying, you know, we're really going to push the boundaries of what we can do and how museums usually curate. Mm. And bringing in all these guests and literally animating the sculpture and soundtracking the sculpture was one thing, but then to create a video that showed that as well as all of our invited contributors responding to the piece becomes a very interesting and effective part of the exhibition, because you start on a very didactic journey of the past, and you get into the deep history of the work and the contentious implications of it. And then it leaves you looking forward because you're seeing very contemporary responses to the work. And you, as a viewer, are even given the opportunity to write responses and leave something there so that you can contribute as well.
Let's go to Sandra in Port Washington. Sandra, what would you like to share?
First of all, I'm delighted to hear a rephrasing of what I hope never becomes a cliche. If we do not learn our history, we are doomed to repeat it, because that is such a truth. I am near my eighth decade and gone to law school and done all of those so-called important things. But I must say that I never learned history, because it was always about white, elderly white men with well-developed beards. There were no women. There were no children. There was not much critical thinking going on, and I just didn't get it until I had the privilege of studying art history.
And Sandra, and I have to cut you short. I'm so sorry. And Sanford, we only have a few more moments here, but Sandra really opened her world, it sounds like, through art and art history.
Well, that's it. Exactly, Sandra. And I appreciate you saying that. Same for me. And once again, this is one of the fields where we can discuss and investigate history and imbalance and all these things in a way that is nuanced and critical, but at the same time, potentially appealing and attractive. So it has, you know, the best of both worlds. It draws you in, but it makes you think and contemplate. And to the adage that you suggested, I often think of history is written by the victors, but I say the future is open source.
So we must take
the history and move it forward.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Mm-hmm. My pleasure.
Sanford Biggers, contemporary visual artist in New York, Remancipation exhibit running through June 25th. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.